Come with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Without even realizing what we were just about to pray into, and what the, you know, interceding and standing in the gap for our sister. This is the, what the Lord has laid on my heart for to share with us tonight. I read in the New King James Version, first of all, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort and is, that at whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord will add blessing to his word. We read it earlier on during our time of communion. King David cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, search me, try me, you know, examine my heart. See if there is any anxiety on the inside of me. I believe that David asked the Lord to do this because anxiety is not a very nice thing. Anxiety kills. Anxiety escalates and evolves to things that are beyond our understanding. Anxiety cripples. Anxiety breaks apart. Anxiety destroys. And here we have Paul encouraging the church in Philippi, saying, you know what, guys, I realize that you have many things buffeting up against you from all sides, from all directions. I realize that being a Christian in our age is a very perilous thing. I realize that some of you are struggling with fear and intimidation, sickness and lack. Some of you are struggling with all kinds of emotional trauma. But this, I would say to you, be anxious for absolutely nothing. Do not fret about anything. And we can stop and say, you know, or they might have even said to him, you know, reading Paul's letter, they might have said to themselves, this Paul, what is his problem? You know, I mean, this is a hard line. Don't be afraid, don't be anxious about anything. You know, Lord, you mean to tell me that there aren't any categories where my anxiety can find some kind of purchase? The Lord would say very clearly and emphatically, no. There's no area, there is no realm, there is no category where anxiety should dwell, where anxiety should find a place of settling. Whatever circumstance you might be facing, have faced, or will be facing, the Bible is very clear that we are to be a people who are anxious for absolutely zero, for nothing. Why is that? Well, it's because of what anxiety means. It's a very, very powerful word. The meaning of the word in the Greek is extremely important for us to understand. Because to be anxious means to be full of care. It means to be distracted. Of course, it means to worry and to be fretful or fearful. But more than that, To be anxious literally means to be pulled apart. So someone basically getting your soul, getting your mind, your emotions, your intellect, even your will, and pulling it apart, ripping it in two. And that's what anxiety is. It's being pulled in two different directions. So much so that you are incapable of making decisions. You're incapable of moving forward. You are incapable of heading in a direction that God has laid out for you, because you're literally, your whole being, your whole existence is being rent in two, pulled apart by one of the most insidious and infernal negative emotions. And what we need to understand tonight is this. Satan, before Satan is after your joy and after your life, and, you know, we do give him a bit too much credit. The reality is, he is after your life. He does want you to fail. He wants you to not know any form of success in life. He doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to be a kingdom advancer. He doesn't want any good thing for your life. He really doesn't. He doesn't want any of that. All the things that Jesus wants for you, he doesn't want for you. Let's just summarize it and leave it there. But the one thing he does want, above everything else, is your peace. He wants your peace. That's why he's a thief. He wants something that he can never have himself. He wants something that he will never experience in all of his futile existence. He wants your peace. Because if he knows he can have your peace, then he knows he can have you. Without going on a massive detour and listing all the things that the enemy wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy, let's just bring it down to one thing. It's your peace. That is the bridge. That is the access point. That is your password. That is the thing that will give him access to everything God has either already entrusted into your care, or already wants to entrust into your care. He wants to take your peace, and he wants to mess it up well and good. Amen. He wants it. And he wants to mess it up. Because he knows that if he can mess up your peace, then you will not be able to access what God has already put on the inside of you, and you will not be able to receive what God is yet to give to you. Like if someone messes up with your password, I'm sure that many of you have experienced that here. Or maybe you had a password and, you know, for some reason you just forgot what it was. I'm sure it's happened to almost everyone in this room. The bottom line is, you know, if you want to get onto your bank account, or you want to go check your emails, you can't do anything. You can't do anything because your password has been messed with. You can't access what you need to access. You can't obtain or retrieve what you need to retrieve because your password has been messed with. The connector, the bridge has been broken. Something has happened preventing you from possessing what is rightfully yours. And the only way that you can you know, gain the access, if you like, that you used to have is to reset your password. Something has to happen to reset your password in order for you to be able to gain control and gain access of what you need to possess, what is rightfully yours, what you need to obtain, what you need to work on, or whatever. Your peace works in exactly in the same way. Because your password is meant to guard your personal details. It's meant to protect you. It's meant to keep you. It's meant to keep the things that you hold there safe. And in the same way, Paul then writes to Philippians, to the church in Philippi. He says, listen, guys, don't be anxious for anything at all. Don't be anxious for anything at all. But in everything, through prayer, I'm going to talk about prayer, supplication or petition and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God will set a guard or garrison your heart and your mind. It is not first and foremost your heart and your mind that Satan wants. He wants your peace. Because your heart and your mind is, they're both Christ's. Before we were saved, he had everything. He had us. Lock, stock, and barrel. But the moment we got saved, the moment we became Christ's, he lost everything. He lost us. Everything that we are, everything will ever be, he lost. We crossed over from darkness to light. We crossed over from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the light of the Son of his love. And you know, we were transformed, and we are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next degree. Your hearts and your minds are secure in the truth that Jesus is who he says he is. And to ensure it stays that way, he has placed your peace, I beg your pardon, he has placed his peace as a guard over your heart and over your mind. That's why it's not your heart and your mind first and foremost. He knows that it's your peace. Why does he want your peace? Because it's a gift from God. You're taking notes. John 14:27 reads a beautiful promise from the Lord. Says, peace I leave. In fact, let's just go 26, 27. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. It's a gift from God. The enemy knows that this peace is not the kind of peace that the world can't give you the peace that you need. The world will not, it is impossible for the world to give you, you know, in this word peace in the Greek, you know what it means? It means wholeness. Whereas anxiety means to be pulled apart, in the Greek, peace means to be tied together. It means to be knitted together. It means to be complete. It means to be whole. In the Hebrew, shalom, it means to be complete. It means to prosper. It means to have rest. It means to know contentment, to be absolutely content. It means, this. I love this, it means to be a friend. Because if you have peace with God, then you have peace in all things. But you cannot have peace with God until you have received peace from God. So he wants to steal your peace. He wants to destroy it because Jesus gave it to you, and he hates that. He wants to destroy, he wants to steal your peace, he wants to destroy it because it's a guard over your hearts and your minds. What else? does your peace do? Colossians 3:15. His peace, which is now your peace, acts as a ruler or an umpire. I love that. Colossians 3:15. This is what Paul writes to the church in Colossae. I'll read in the Amplified Version. It says, "And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule or act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always." It settles once and for all whatever issues that you think you may have. It acts as an umpire. It guards your hearts and mind. And it is a wonderful gift of God that ensures you don't need to live with trouble, strife, and fear. Peace. But how do we ensure that this peace is sustained? Well, we can't sustain his peace. That's why in John 14:26, he mentions the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, "I'll ask the Lord to send him, and he will teach you all things and bring all things into remembrance." He will teach you all things, and he will bring all things that you have been taught into your remembrance. So it's the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit who sustains your peace and ensures that no one messes with your supernatural password. But for this to happen, you know, God says, okay, right, don't be anxious for anything whatsoever. But what I want you to do, all of that energy, all of that stuff and all that time that you put into worrying and being anxious and being fretful, God says, what I want you to do is to pray and bring your petition with thanksgiving. And you say, well, prayer and petition are the same thing. Well, essentially, yes and no. Because what we need to understand is that prayer, which in the Greek starts with the prefix of pro, simply is when we come towards God. It's the same prefix that worship has. Worship has the same prefix, P-R-O, pro, and I won't tell you the whole Greek word, but it basically worship means to come towards and to kiss. Prayer means to come towards and to interact, to talk, like I said this morning. A way has been made for us, Hebrews 10. A new and living way has been made for us through the veil, which is Christ's own flesh, into the holiest of all, the place where angels won't even enter. They cannot enter. And he says, you come, son. You come, daughter. And what we would rather do, really, because what the flesh requires is for the Lord is here, and he is welcoming us. He's beckoning us, and he's saying, come. But what we want to do is to be fretful, anxious, and full of worry. Why? Because that is our default mode. See, this person is what we have been saved from. This person is what we have been delivered from. But for some reason, when that password, someone has messed with that password, we start to panic. We don't know what we're going to do now. Oh, no, what is? I can't remember it. But the Holy Spirit is here to bring all things into remembrance. What is it? I can't remember it. Oh, you know, am I going to have to reset it? Am I going to have to change it? Or, you know, who's gained access? Who's stolen this? Who's gone in? I'm going to call the bank. I'm going to do this. And, you know, and he just said, come and tell me about it. He says, pro, come towards me and talk to me. Just talk to me. Because that is what prayer, it is an exchange of dialogue. It is a conversation. He says, come and talk to me. I have given you the right to do that. I have given you the, you know, I have permitted you to come into my presence, the creator of the universe. I have given you the rights and the privilege to just, to simply come and talk to me. We're not done petition yet. Because that's the second step. The first step is to simply to come towards and to interact with God. Oh, Lord, it's happened again. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need to talk to you. I can't do this on my own. I don't want to carry this on my own. I don't want to bear this on my own. I need to talk to you. So he says, right, what are we going to talk about? Because that's what petition is. Essentially the same, but not the same. Because petition is when we come into the presence of Almighty God and we offer up to Him a need, a heartfelt need that is personal and urgent. Even when I was just meditating on what I was going to speak tonight and just thinking about these scriptures, I said, Lord, you know something? There's been so many times when I have had a personal and urgent need and I haven't even said one word to you. I have just anxiety. And this anxiety is a festering disease of the soul. It is relentless. It is unforgiving. And you might think, well, is it just that as easy as that, just to pray? And no, it is not that easy, because I know firsthand it's not easy to just get over it. You can't just get over it, especially when the thing has gripped you. But what we can do is pray. What we can do is to bring our deep, heartfelt, personal, and urgent needs to God. I would just guess that many children of the God, of the living God, don't do this because they don't understand the reality that they can do that. Do I really need, will He really hear me? Will He really respond to me? Will He really accept me? Will He really give me His time? Will it really change anything? Will it work? You know? So there's this hesitation. There is this holding back. And there is this automatic need to just, you know, either, you know, we call a brother or a sister, which is great, which is good, you know, that's why we're family. We did it here. You know, we call someone, we talk to someone, or we just don't talk to anybody. We just keep it, and we just, and then, you know what, something we learn to cope. We bury it, and we learn to cope. We keep on keeping on. We just keep on pressing on. Like I said this morning, you know, it's not contradictory to what I was saying, because we got to keep on going. But the reality is, if we don't deal with it, it's a festering disease, unforgiving, it's unrelenting. It will consume the soul. And once it has consumed the soul, the state of our lives is a lot worse than it would have been at the very beginning. So we say, God, do you really care? Are you really going to do this for me? And, you know, like Jesus sleeping on the boat while he's about to be capsized, and Peter comes and he wakes him and he shakes him. And Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? And, you know, Jesus, gets up and rebukes him for his lack of faith, and you know, and he tells the wind to be still. He said, what did he say? He said, peace. Be still. Lord, did you know, and we think, well, you know, what Jesus was saying was, Peter should not have come to him to wake him up, but Peter should have taken care of the problem himself. The Bible, in my reading and my understanding, doesn't say that. That's my understanding. You might have a different interpretation, but my understanding is very different. My understanding is different from that common idea that, you know, Jesus is saying, oh, you of little faith, you just sort this out yourself, Peter. You're so impetuous. Sort your life out, man. Get on with it. Trying to have a kip. I'm tired, boy. I don't believe it's saying that. I believe it's saying that, Peter, I don't mind you coming to me, but next time you come to me, come to me believing that I am who I say I am. Because when you know that I am who I say I am, then you will know that I am who you say you are. Come to me believing that I am benevolent, I am patient, I am kind, I am full of love, I am full of compassion. Come to me, Peter, believing that with me all things are possible, and I actually want to do this for you. I actually want to address this situation for you. So Peter, I am not rebuking you for the act of waking me up. I'm rebuking you for the condition of your heart while you are waking me up. Are you with me tonight? So he says we go to pray. We go to bring our petitions. Specific. Tell him what it is. Be specific. Be absolutely God. This is exactly, you know, the car is broken down, and Lord, I need a miracle. You need to fix this situation. You know, God, that bill is about to go out of my account, that direct debit, and there is not enough money in there. God, I need a miracle. God, I've just received a diagnosis from the doctors, and they've said it's not very good. I need a miracle. God, my marriage is about to come to an end. Lord, I need you to do this for me. I need a miracle. And I'm coming to you because I know that you can do it. You are who you say you are, and you will do what your word says you would do. So I am coming to you now. Prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. Didn't say prayer, petition, and, because that suggests that thanksgiving comes after. But thanksgiving comes with. It comes during the storm. Thanksgiving is in the midst of the pain. Thanksgiving comes in the midst of the fiery furnace. Thanksgiving comes in the midst of that place of lack, that place of being out of control, that place of not knowing what's going to happen next, that place of not understanding what the next steps are. Thanksgiving is during the storm, not after. He says, when you do that, you got the peace, you got the petition, you got the prayer, you got the petition, you got the thanksgiving. He says, you got to know, son, you got to know, daughter, this devil, he wants to steal your peace, he can't steal it. Because when that happens, he says, and the peace that surpasses all understanding. You don't understand it. You will never understand my peace, because it's my peace. It's not your peace. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It is my peace. No one can understand my peace. No one can understand how my peace will guard you. When you take a close study of the book of Exodus in the 14th chapter, and we see the pillar of fire and the pillar of fire coming down and landing between the Egyptians coming in one direction and the children of Israel in the other direction. It's the same grammatical language that is being used in the Hebrew. It's the same thing of guarding and protecting. So when you have this offensive army coming with the threatenings and all of those things, looking to destroy, looking to decimate, looking to cause absolute havoc. The fire of God, the fire of his presence is there and is protecting the ones that he loves and he cares for. It is exactly the same thing in the New Testament reality when he talks about his peace. You know why? Because he is his peace and his peace is him. You need to know tonight that his peace is not just something that he gives or bestows. His peace is himself. Oh, did you hear me tonight? His peace is himself. He says, I'm coming. He says, I'm going to guard your heart. I will stand as a sentry guard over your heart and over your mind, and I will protect my investments. I will protect my interests. This peace. Let's have the band back. This peace. So what's your situation tonight? Where are you tonight in all of this? Where have you been? Perhaps where are you now? You might be absolutely wonderful, and that's, praise God, that's wonderful. Keep on giving God praise and thanks for that. But you need to learn these principles. You got to understand these principles. You need to know that the Holy Spirit is the one who will lead you. He will teach you all things, and he will lead you into all truth. But if you know that tonight, you've asked the Lord, you know something, that's the whole thing. Don't, you can't kid him. He knows. You might try and conceal it. We heard it in the prophetic prayer earlier on. You got the veil, you got the mask, you got whatever. You know, you might try and just say, yeah, I'm okay, Jack. I'm all right, Jack. No, the Lord will know if you're okay or not. And in his mercy, he says, right, okay, that's why I'm the great physician. I need to operate on you. Take off your clothes. No, God. I can't operate on you fully clothed. Gonna have to. Take off your clothes, son. No. Okay, lie down on the operating table. No, I'd rather stand. Why? Because I want to be in control. I'm going to put you under. No, God. Why? Because I want to be awake. So you don't want to take off your clothes. You want to lie on the table. You want to put you under. No, no, no. So what do you want me to do? Just do it. I'm the physician. I don't just do it. I have a way of doing things. They are kingdom principles. Kingdom principles, church. It doesn't just happen. It's not magic. Presto. It doesn't work that way. There are things he wants us to apply. There are things he wants us to give ourselves to. There are things he wants us to believe in. And even tonight, that same Holy Spirit is here. It's 7:30. Perhaps we can give him a few minutes to help us. First and foremost, show us if there is any anxious thought, because that's the wickedness. It's not, God isn't saying you're wicked, but anxiety is a wicked thing. And he says, let me examine you. Let me examine you, and then let me take care of it. And even tonight, perhaps you can probe. You can come towards. Not a man, but you can come towards your God, and you can interact with him, and he with you. And then you can bring those deep, heartfelt, urgent, and personal needs to him. And once you've given them to him, you don't need to pick them back up again. Are you lonely tonight? Are you isolated? Are you afraid? The Lord will take care of that tonight. Amen? Let's all stand.